Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Welcome to all the best people I know. You look in the mirror, feeling the love through the airwaves. That is you. You are awesome. And I want to thank you so much, first off, for making the show a tremendous success. We are in the top 1 and 2% in so many categories, I cannot believe it, in BTR, in over 22,000 listeners in less than a year. I am so jazzed and doing the happy dance and grateful for you because it's our regular listeners, our new listeners who are sharing their shine with others so that we can all be our best. We have to help each other. It's the only way we're going to be our best. And with guests like today, Donna Sebo, whoa, international hit, recognized worldwide across the globe. I am so excited to be able to bring her to you today. And it's only because you are keeping the show going and growing that we can have great guests and we can keep our great listeners. So make sure you share your shine with a friend. And if you go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, andbluegrass.com, you can sign up for the monthly motivation news in the green box on the right, and then you will get a listing of all our great guests for the month. And if you want the BTR updates, which are worry-free and they give them to you right away, you can just mark us as a favorite and follow us on the BTR homepage. So, who doesn't want to have a great mind? Thoughts, feelings, actions, it all goes together. And our expert today, Donna Sebo, is internationally recognized for doing just that. She's an international author, she's a publisher, she's a lecturer, she's a renowned mental practitioner and counselor. Her extraordinary mind skills have placed her into a lifestyle that reflects the wonderful opportunities that await any of us, anyone, that's just willing to believe in a positive self-image. Using her personal experiences and gifts, Donna has created a program to teach individuals to develop their own mind powers to enhance their daily lives and personal relationships. Donna teaches her mind magic system, and I'm encouraging everybody to go to her website, which is DelphiInternational.com, or you can just Google Donna Sebo and she'll come up because she's, you know, it's Google search engines love her. She's so famous. Anyway, she teaches her system by speaking at various business meetings and seminars. Her program involves a lively display of her own mind skills and then begins to explain in easy-to-understand terms how anyone can develop their mind abilities. Donna's current lecture program is entitled, of course, You Are the Magic. Isn't that delicious? You can connect with Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And she's also she has, I could only hope to have so many listeners as her on BBS Radio, the Donna Sebo Show. And there's so much more to know about her, but this classy woman who I love and adore, Donna Sebo, welcome to our show today. And thank you for being a guest.
Well, this is awesome, and with an introduction like that, I guess my chest could be puffed up as big as the universe. Thank you so much.
You are awesome, and you know, one of the things I love about you is you just got a great sense of humor, and you have a lot of humility, and you just really, you make life worth living. You make everybody want to live their life to their best, and I just love that about you. You are just doing so many things, and I didn't even read everything that I could about you. I mean, the new children's book, which I do have a picture of. And God's Kiss, and just so many things that you're doing. And, you know, I've got a ton of questions, and we have people in the chat room already, and if somebody wants to speak with Donna live, To get a little personal insight, you just dial 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318. You press #1, and that'll put you through to the switchboard, and you can speak with Donna, and she can give you some personal insight if you'd like to have that opportunity. But, you know, maybe the first question, how did you, I mean, you obviously have, you're ordained minister and so many other degrees and education certificates and so forth, but you really have an amazing psychic ability. I know you've jammed, been known to jam more than one phone line throughout. How did you develop this? How did you first find out that you had this God-given gift? I'm just wondering if we could start out with that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The truth is, I did not discover it at all. It was a woman who ended up becoming my mentor who recognized my capabilities. And she was the one that said, you are skilled at being a communicator. And I was in my early 20s at the time that I met her. And she said, you are going to be able to convey and to communicate to people in a way that I would want to do. However, I'm not going to be able to do it, but you will. And she said it would be communicating about how normal and natural the psychic ability really is. And these many years that I've been involved in the work of mind, which has been over 40 years, it has been extremely important to me to be able to convey to people that this is not something that should be feared. It should be understood and utilized, and it's a tool. When people want to meet with me, for example, for a private session, or if they're wanting me to be a part of a group and to interact with people, I tell them I'm an information resource. I am a facilitator, and the skills that I utilize have been acquired through disciplined application and practice. And that's something that so often is ignored. People like to get caught up with the sensationalism. Somebody gets dropped on their head, or they got hit with a bolt of lightning or something, you know, really dramatic. We love drama, let's face it. And when it's really dramatic and Hollywood style, people go, oh, isn't that wonderful? The truth is, it belongs to everybody. There is no one that is devoid of this capability. However, with each and every individual, it manifests in its own unique expression. And that's the tough thing. That's something that scientists have a very difficult time with, because the mentality in general is we want to be able to put it into a little bottle, into a little package, and gee whiz, one size fits all. That is not the case. I did a program just recently this past weekend, and I conveyed in that program that we are all very unique. And when people hear terms clairaudience, clairsentience, synesthesia, things like this, they go, oh, gee whiz, that means that that's really exclusive in and of itself. The reality is, when you are using your intuitive capacities, you are using all of your senses. You are not just using one, but you may favor a particular sense or sensory capacity, however you want to term it. You may favor it because that feels better to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is, this is built into you. It is built into your nervous system. And it is extremely important that we take the what I call the woo-woo out of it and realize that it's normal, it's natural. And when you are disciplined and you are willing to practice and you're willing to develop your skill, it's amazing the variables that come in. I just love it. I've been in this work for most of my life, and I just find it so rewarding, so satisfying, and realize how empowering it is. I have to add this caveat, however. You're still going to have to work at life. The bills have to be paid. The toilets need to be cleaned. And babies have to be burped. So it doesn't put you off in some extra special, universal, whatever you want to call it. It's not a magic panacea that's going to relieve you of the responsibilities of life. Actually, the more you pay attention to your intuitive processes, the more responsibility you realize you have towards life, because you realize that you are responsible for what you do, how you think, and the actions that you are going to plan and execute in your life. It's really a fascinating arena.
Wow. Well, okay, so now anybody listening, I'm sure they're feeling just the same way as I am. It's like, wow. But, you know, I love how you put it into a practical sense, how you say we all have this ability, but, you know, you've sharpened your skills. You've done this for 40 years. This is what you do all the time. You help people, you know, make good decisions or to be able to tap into their own mind power, their own intuitive skills. But you're also so practical and you're so funny about it. Like, you know, we still have to pay those bills. I don't know why that doesn't come with a disclaimer. No bills having to be paid now, you know. Now, once you get that intuitive insight, you're supposed to, you know, the Hollywood glam, all of a sudden everything disappears and you're floating and life is perfect, you know, the I Dream a Genie thing. But, you know, how have you been able to use your abilities to help other people? Because I know that, you know, you've done this with so many people over the globe, and you give your lectures, as you said, this past weekend. But, you know, what are some of the things that you've been able to do to help people? Do you have any particular stories that you like to share? And then sure. I'd love to go into how you can help other people tune into their mind power, their intuitive abilities, so that we can really use what you say everybody has to be our best. And we will take what Candy O'Donnell is just mentioning in the chat room, how much she loves your speaking voice. You do have the most soothing, beautiful voice. And Candy O'Donnell, I'll do a little plug for her because she has a fabulous radio show. So you can go to Candy O'Donnell's show as well. But, share some of your stories, because it's phenomenal stuff that you do.
Let me just share one story that really popped into my head. And I, believe it or not, I don't often talk about stories like this in the sense that most people would expect, because I just do it. I have developed a discipline that when I give information to people, I release it. I let it go. Well, I have the wonderful habit of often sharing certain things with my husband. His memory is phenomenal. He has all these stories that I've told him through the years. And he said, oh, remember this, remember that. Then I remember things. But typically, I have an automatic eraser, because in my work, I don't like to carry stuff over. When I'm working with people, people can make changes and shifts in their lives. Maybe they feel like they're at the bottom of the bucket and the bucket's got a hole in it, and they look at that and they go, oh my goodness, my world is just going to go nowhere real fast. And maybe we work together, and after a while, then the next time I see them, they're not in that bucket anymore. So I have to be able to keep a clear slate with anyone that I'm interacting with. That's what something I need to say. A story I'll share with you is about a woman, and this woman came to me, and she was having some challenges. Well, when I do sessions with people, I don't want to know anything about them. I don't want to have any information. I want that clean slate. I want to be able to give them information first. And then afterwards, they're welcome to ask me questions. And she listened to everything I had to say. She was having some challenges financially, many things that so many of us experience. However, during the session, I looked at her and I said, you have something in your eye. You are going to have medical care, and this eye has a major challenge, and something needs to be removed from the eye. And she said, well, that's very interesting. You're commenting on that, because I feel like I have something in my eye, and I've gone to more than one eye doctor, and they haven't been able to find anything. Well, as it turned out, this woman ended up moving from where she was to another state. I ended up getting a letter from her, and it absolutely astonished me because I had described my feeling, like I was feeling what was going on with her eye, and I had seen something actually removed from the eye. So she, in her letter, conveyed to me that this eye was bothering her a great deal. So she ends up going to an eye doctor. And he's there, and he said, oh, he said, I see something here. I think it's an eyelash. Well, he couldn't get it. So he said, well, for some reason, it's very difficult for me to get. So he put something in her eye to numb the surface. And that way she wouldn't move her eye. And he told her to look in a certain direction, and he said, ah, now I'm going to get it. Well, he took the tweezers, pulled at what appeared to be an eyelash, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled.
Oh, wow.
He pulled out a full strand of hair that was like 3 or 4 inches long, that somehow had become embedded within the eyeball itself.
Ooh.
And she said it blew him away. He had never, ever had anything like that. And she said it was sort of like a surgery because he had to keep pulling and pulling and pulling. And it was so astonishing. Of course, medicine is filled with all kinds of weird stories, things that end up in the body in a way and manner you never expect that it's going to be there. It's just absolutely amazing. And she said she's not had a problem since. She wrote me a beautiful letter explaining the whole thing. And she said this was amazing. And no one had been able to see it until that particular physician noticed this little tiny bit of something that looked like an eyelash. So that is one story. And then there was another one about a fellow that called me, and he was very fundamentalist in his beliefs. I was on a radio show up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and this guy was after me with a vengeance. And the reason I know this is because he told me this. He said, when I called into that show, and I had been on the show frequently, and when I called into the show, what happened is he got in on the line, and again, I never ask people questions when I talk to them on air. I give them information first. I told him on air that he had a situation with his ear. And I said, you must go in and see a doctor. This is serious. This is a very serious condition. You have a major problem within your inner ear. Do not ignore this. Well, he thought, aha, this woman is really an extremist. And I've got her, and I'm going to nail her. So what occurred is that he ended up making an appointment with an ear specialist. He goes into that specialist, and he said, I want my ears checked. The guy's asking, well, do you have any problems? No, just want to have them checked. Doctor checks his ears and said, it's a good thing you came in. You have a major infection inside your inner ear, and it could have caused brain damage. It actually could have created serious, serious problems for you. And the guy was just blown away. He had no pain, nothing at all. Now, these are two health situations that I've talked about. I have interacted with people relative to finances. I had someone just call me the other day on the air on my show, and she said, Donna, I have to say something to you. You gave me a reading on the air. I've been so anxious about moving into a particular facility. I've been on a list. She lives in the Midwest somewhere, and she said, you told me months ago that I was going to be moving in September, and that just stressed me out no end because I figured I was going to be moving at the end of spring. And she got very anxious about it, but she said, I just trusted what you were saying. And then what occurred is that the building wasn't finished that she was going to be moving into, and she just recently signed the papers to have access to her unit in this building, which is all for artists. She's an artist, and it's just a wonderful environment for her. And sure enough, she's going to be moving in September.
Wow.
So you have these things. Now, one of the things I want to say, this is something when people are listening to this, they may go, oh, my goodness, this is just amazing. Yes, it is, but at the same time, it isn't. And let me qualify that. When I get information, you have to remember that the mind source is dealing with particulars. We have all kinds of things that are interconnected, all kinds of conditions and situations that flow. There is a probability factor that can be shown. If a person decides they want to follow a different patterning, they can make that choice, and that could change the flow. It is very important that those that are listening to the show today understand, again, I'm an information resource, and when people use my skills in that way and do not give up their capacity of choice, then they can use the information as a resource, being attentive to things and getting their life in a patterning that has value and where this skill serves them in the right way.
Mm. So you always keep the hope that we have that free will to change things if we should so desire, but having the information can help make better decisions and certainly can preempt some issues, especially with the health issues that you described. I'm wondering, and maybe some of the other listeners are wondering as well, how does this come to you? I mean, how do you receive this information before you share it, and how do you know what to share?
The information comes through all of my senses. Sometimes, and it's fast. It's not, I don't have to sit and meditate for 30 minutes. That's not what I do. It is very fast. When I'm on the air, when I'm in front of an audience, it is so exceedingly fast, sometimes it surprises me how quickly the information will come. There's very little pause. And it comes in the form of sometimes smell, sometimes something I hear, I feel, sometimes I have my own mental theater screen, and the information comes that way. It is extremely, it's all of the senses that are involved. It is extremely fast. There's no guessing. It's just there. And I'm just as intrigued with it as other people are. And a way I like to describe it is that every one of us are like computer terminals. And we all have access to this phenomenal internet. And it just is immense. There's no way we can even wrap our minds around it. You can, if you're willing to discipline yourself, be able to push the on button so you get information. When we intellectualize too much, that's sometimes when we get in trouble, because we'll get an impression, we'll get something about a person, a condition, a situation, and we need to put the action out. We need to do whatever's necessary or respond accordingly. But if we allow our analytical side to come in, which is how we are trained in the Western world very strongly, there's nothing wrong with the analytical side. But let's say you have this spontaneous awareness that you need to go down a certain street and turn left. And your intellectual side may say, this is the most ridiculous thing you could ever have done. Why in the world would you even go down the street and turn left? Let me give you a cute story as an example. I had a girlfriend that called me one afternoon. Her sister, who is going to be 80 years old, she's having this huge, huge party. The whole family is putting this on. So I was talking with my girlfriend, Gail, and I said, gee, what do you want to get your sister? And Gail said, I would love to get her something wildly extravagant. She told me how she was going to get this little fur piece that her sister could wear. She said, we went out and got some faux fur, and the reason they did it is that when she called her sister said, oh, I want to be all glamorous. I want diamonds and furs. Remember, they're a girl's best friend. So they were having a lot of fun kibitzing about this. And so Gail and her daughter went out and got this faux fur, and they designed something so she could have this mini fur coat. And I said, okay, then you need really something glitzy. She said, yes. I said, all right. I said, let me see what I can find, because I just have a knack of finding things. Well, there is this delightful friend of mine who has this consignment shop. And I walked in, just had to go to the post office. She's across the street from the post office. I walked into this consignment shop, and I said, hi there. Well, as it turned out, she was closed. She wasn't open. But it was a very warm day, and so she had the door open, and they were rearranging things in her store. And she said, come on in, Donna, don't worry about it. And her husband was with her, helping her. And I said, okay, I'm just curious about something. So I told her Gail's story. I said, what have you got that is one of the gaudiest, glamorous things that you possibly have? And the husband said, oh, we just got this item in. He brings over a velvet box, opens it up, and here is a pin that is about 2 inches in diameter that's solid crystal pieces. And I looked at it. It was absolutely gorgeous. In fact, I was tempted to keep it for myself.
Hey, why not?
Beautiful.
That's a little glam and glitz, never hurt. A little sparkle and shine.
Well,
come on.
Oh, let me tell you the rest of it, though. And I said, oh, this is perfect. I knew it was absolutely perfect. So I had my cell phone. I called Gail, and I said, Gail, I found this thing. It is gaudy as it can be. It is 2 inches in circumference. And I think it was, you know, like $15 or something like this. And Gail is on a very, she's very thoughtful about how she spends her money. She said, oh, that's perfect. That's absolutely wonderful. I said, okay, I'll get it for you. So anyway, I looked at the pin, and inside this box was something else. And as I was preparing, I took it home. As I was preparing the package to mail to my girlfriend, because she lives in another community, I looked at this piece of paper, found out that this was an exact replica of a pin that Jackie Onassis had designed for her.
Ooh.
While she was in the White House. So this was an antique piece.
Wow.
And I sent that to Gail, and I was so excited. I said, you don't know how hard it was for me to put that in the mail for
you.
Yeah,
right. Sometimes it's like, well, but, I know I'm supposed to help the other person, but it would be nice to just.
So anyway, here is this spectacular. I mean, it was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was huge. So anyway, she gave that to her sister. She got even more excited, and when she opened up the box and was putting everything together, she read the information in there about this pin and the designer, and I don't remember the designer's name. Apparently he was quite famous for his jewelry. And she sent that. She said, my sister, when we opened that up, she was thrilled. She got her foam ink and her diamonds. And it just made a woman who had just turned 80 absolutely thrilled. So this is what I'm talking about. I did something on the spur of the moment. It was without any logic, had no sense at all. Yet when you look back at it, you go, wow, that was the right timing in the right place, because I did it just within an hour after I'd been on the phone with my friend. So things like this happen, and we can all relate to that. We can all relate to it.
Yeah, you know, and I think sometimes we overanalyze things too much, and maybe that's just the way our culture is, because I know that different parts of the country view things differently, you know, the East, the West, and all that. But it's a lovely example, and we all need to really, because there's so many good things that can happen if we just open ourselves to the possibility. And I think that you really teach people to trust their own intuition and to not overthink it too much, because that can be a real roadblock. How do you help people like the average person like me? I know you say everybody has this ability, but the average person listening who doesn't have, you know, the sharp skills that you have, but you say we all do have something that we can tap into. How do you help us develop our own intuition?
Well, I did a class last week with a wonderful group of people. I just love teaching. And in that class, I let them demonstrate to themselves what they're capable of doing. And that's one of the joys of teaching, is making people aware. Don't put other people up on pedestals, because, and I say this with a great deal of honesty, I have acquired the skills I have acquired because I have practiced. That is important. You are not going to be able to play an instrument skillfully without practice. It's the same thing with developing your intuitive skills. So you have to have the interest. A lot of people don't have the interest. They could care less. So the key is those two components. You have to have the interest, and you have to be willing to practice. In the class, we did items that I had put into envelopes where I asked them to discern colors. I have certain cards that I use that I put in. And everything's sealed up, and so they have to trust themselves. And I'll say, no judgment. I give them maybe just 2 or 3 minutes, and then we start talking about what we feel and what we perceive. And every one of us is different. And they usually surprise themselves. They were amazed at how accurate they were. And these are people that are coming from all walks of life. These are people that are fascinated with the development of psychic ability, and they're willing to practice. And some of them, I learned, were very much aware of their patternings of intuition, and others just are sort of scared to death of it because they've gotten themselves into a mind block, which is quite normal. This is something that children, when children are around, they'll say, oh, you know, this and this and that and that, and then they just go about doing whatever they do. And they're very open, very, very receptive. They have their imaginary friends. They have all kinds of little experiences, or maybe they look at you after Aunt Lucille has left and say, you know, that woman lies a lot. And you make, oh, you don't say that about your elders. Well, forget it. The kid's being honest. Aunt Lucille may lie a lot. You know, this
you're
these
so
are the
funny.
Facts. This is what we do. This is how we have to we have to be more aware. And honesty is great. Children have absolutely no tact at all. So this is something that we need to be more alert to. And I've known people that were critically criticized by adults because they could see when someone was going to die, or they knew somebody was sick, or there was something that could possibly happen. Maybe there was something wrong with a car or whatever. Or they would talk about people that they would see. And, of course, they just shut down after a while because they were afraid to even open their mouths. They were told this is the work of the devil or blah, blah, blah. People come up with all kinds of stuff when they don't understand things. And so instead of saying, oh, that's very interesting, well, what did your little green turtle say to you this morning? Well, green turtle told me this. Okay, fine. Well, eventually kids grow out of that because they get very occupied with living, with growing up, becoming adults. So they get caught into a lot of mind paradigms. So as adults, if we're interested in expanding our capabilities, we need to let go of those paradigms. We need to be able to let that childlike trust and confidence within ourselves come open. So a good way to practice, you've asked me a particular question, I want to address it. A good way to practice is to use a tool. You can do psychometry, which is holding an item that belongs to someone else, and or maybe just going someplace, like to a museum, and maybe if you have a chance to hold something old, what kind of pictures, what kind of feelings do you get? All of your senses are utilized when you do this. If you do psychometry, and there's books, oh, please, go out and look at your books, read your books. And I guarantee you, you're going to find something. You are so blessed today because of the amount of publications that are out there regarding intuitive development. But one thing you're going to find, which I found, and my mentor was the one that encouraged me to read, and when I started in the work, there wasn't a heck of a lot out there, but this is something today, there is a plethora of it. But what you'll discover is that you'll pick up one person's book, you'll read it, and you'll say, this is the biggest bunch of garbage I've ever heard in my life. Okay, fine. But you may find one sentence in that entire book that resonates with you. See, what you have to do is find out what works for you. You can use tarot cards. You can use grass clippings. You can use a baby spit. It doesn't make any difference. What you want is something that is going to enable you to focus. Your mind has to focus so that it can be clear. It's not unlike your computer terminal. Now, there's a lot of stuff working in the background, but you have to turn it on. And if you notice, when you're working with that computer terminal, you have to stay focused on what you are seeing so that you push the right buttons, right? To get
you know,
what you want.
Absolutely. And, you know, it brings me to another question, and I'm looking at the clock, too, so I know we only have like 10 minutes left. But I really want to ask you, because I have a feeling that some of the listeners may be wanting to ask you the same thing. How do you know when someone is really looking and resourcing the good instead of the negative? Because I think we all have heard stories and know that everybody doesn't use these gifts. Everybody doesn't have, as you do, this desire to make someone's life better, to bring healing and hope and peace and love. You know, there's a lot of negative entities and energies out there. How do you discern from the good versus the bad, and how can you help us know how to do that as well?
The only way I know for a person to develop the conscious awareness, and I use that word with a great deal of sincerity, you must be awake. Now, that may sound a little strange, but when you are seeking to find someone that you can use as a mentor, which is the way people like to work with me, and that's the way I prefer it, when you find someone, you will know. When you go to something like a psychic fair, I think that's one of the best places to go. You'll see everything and anything, and that is a wonderful environment to be in. I'll tell you why. You're going to have people that maybe have a rice grain's worth of psychic capacity. You may find someone else who's just loaded with it. You need to be able to interact with different environments, different people, to see what fits with you. There may be someone that is really very good with crystals, or maybe someone that's just a total fraud. You need to trust yourself. See, it's a part of growth. There is no guarantees that you're not going to encounter someone that is a total fraud. I've encountered people that were frauds. I've had business dealings with people that I trusted that I found out later were frauds. But I had to be responsible for the fact that maybe I was anxious because they had some kind of prestige around them, or I felt inadequate as a person, and so I wanted them to do something that was they're not capable of doing. They lied. So you have to take that positioning of personal responsibility. So what I would say to anyone, when you are going into an environment, let's say like a psychic fair, or someone tells you about someone that's just wonderful for them, you say, okay, maybe I'd like to do this. And then you need to know how you feel about it, and you need to think about how they present their information. What do they tell you? If they go into the fact that you need 75 purple candles and the one with green and white stripes is especially powerful, take your money and run. But if you're encountering a professional, you're not going to have in that professional, if they have a good standard of ethics, they're not going to lie to you, because they realize that their reputation is important, but they will tell you the truth. And one of the things that happens, and has happened with me so many, many times, I've had people say, you have not told me what I have wanted to hear. And I will say to them, I do this work, I give you what I'm given. You are not going to have anything added to it by me. You're not going to have anything taken away from it by me. I really cannot be concerned whether you like what I have to say or not. If it makes you think, that is important. Too many times when people seek out the counsel of a psychic or any kind of mentor, they want them to take over their thinking. They want to release themselves to that person. I don't accept that, because everyone must be responsible for their choices and their decisions. You may encounter somebody who is going to be manipulative, who is going to be a negative individual, but your mind belongs to you. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And when you encounter someone who does not have a good sense of ethics, who does not have a clarity in how they communicate, and if they're saying to you, well, you got to come back, like some, you know, professional therapist, I know, well, it's going to take you 3 years to get over something. Well, okay, fine. That's your choice. But you make the choice and you will know if that person is really what they say they are. Because the people that are sincere and have dedicated themselves into this line of work, it's the same with any professional arena. If they are really, really true to who they are and to the level of professionalism they choose to demonstrate, you'll know it. There won't be any question in your mind.
Yeah, and I think that it really gets back to, I'm seeing the common thread that you're weaving throughout the conversation, is really getting to that personal responsibility and knowing that we all have free will and we all have the ability to make our choices. But, you know, I also find a lot of hope in what you're saying, that if we can be open to staying grounded, to sharpening our own skills, practicing discipline like everything else, you know, it really, and again, you said this word, sensationalism, you're taking the sensationalism out of it and you're really putting the professional into it. And I think that that's giving listeners a new perspective. And I want to make sure that they have your website. I also want to ask you, is there something that if you could tell yourself something now when you were younger, or something that you wish somebody had always asked you, is there any sort of final thought that you want to leave us with?
What I would say is, let me answer your question in this way. I believe that every experience we have in life propels us towards our greater self, good, bad, or indifferent. And what got me into the interest of the psychic self was a very, very dark period in my life. Very, very dark period. I was one of those people that the hole was not only in the bucket, it was the entire bottom of the bucket, and I was hanging on for dear life, hoping I wasn't going down into the dark void. When I speak to people, as I have the opportunity to do today, I want them to realize that the greatest potential within themselves they have yet to reach. It is so important to realize that your life is your journey, and you have a very special place in this experience of life. And in becoming aware of your intuitive side, it enriches your life in a way that makes you realize how significant one person's actions can be. You make a difference with your choices every day. You are important. I don't care if you're a bag lady on the street, if you are a gazillionaire, it doesn't make any difference. You're important. You're needed, and you're needed because of the light that you bring to life in your own special way. Remember
wow.
that. Hold it in your heart and realize this is your life to be lived with quality, with excellence, and with purpose, however it is meant to manifest through you.
Isn't that a beautiful message, everybody? So we're, you know, none of us is an accident. We're all here for a specific reason, to do a specific thing. And that really lifts the depression. If anybody's feeling depressed about, oh, I'm not doing it right, or why is my life like this or like that, you really have such a lovely, inspirational message of hope for each one of us, Donna, don't you?
I like to think that that's part of my purpose in life, is to do what I'm doing.
Wow. All right. Well, let's make sure that people know how to connect with you to do just that. Can you let people know how to find you on your beautiful radio show, if they want to speak with you, to spend some time speaking with you for any type of a reading or intuitive skill, your classes? Where do people connect with you, Donna?
Well, there's actually three or four opportunities. One, if people want to listen to my radio show, it's Monday through Friday on bbsradio.com, station one. That's boysamradio.com, station number one. I'm on from 3 to 4 every afternoon, and that is West Coast time. Two, they can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. That's Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. And then three, they can contact me through my office, which is 253-582-5604, 253-582-5604. And if nothing else, they can just Google Donna Sebo, S-E-E-B-O, and all kinds of information will pop up. In fact, that always fascinates me when I find, I had someone call me and say, gee, Donna, do you know you're on the on this, there's over 2,000 listings. I said, you've got to be kidding.
I ditto that, because every time before the show too, I was trying to get some more information, and when I Googled something, it was like, wow, every time I put something in, I get something back new. It's like, it's the never ending, you know, it goes on and on and on. You've just done so many things. Unbelievable. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. And then I know this, and then I get sidetracked. It goes on and on and on. And I mean, do you have any idea how many radio shows or how many people you've connected with? You probably don't even know anymore, do you?
No, I don't. I don't even worry about that. In fact, I'm actually quite blasé about it. I really don't care. I need to get educated about social networking, and I haven't gotten into that yet either. So I need to have some 16-year-old teach me what I need to know.
I know. It's always the kids. It's like the neighborhood kids. They could tell me more how to use things than myself. And the other thing that's really fascinating, you've interviewed some of the biggest names in the industry, haven't you? Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Well, my show is oriented towards personally empowering people. I interview authors from around the globe and from all genres. I really believe in education, and I read 400 to 600 books a year, and that does not include CDs or DVDs that I review as well. And it's so important to me to be able to let people know that reading and educating yourself is an ongoing process. You never get there. You are never finished. So whether it is business, whether it is health, whether it is motivation, whether it is how to go through Spain most economically on a pilgrimage, it doesn't make any difference. It is information, and it's very eclectic. My show is extremely eclectic, which I like. That's the way I am, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I have psychics on. I have mechanics on. I have entrepreneurs on my show. I really love what I do. I really, really do.
Well, I tell you, and that is the best lesson that we can have. You love your life. You enjoy it every day. You live in that present moment. You fine-tune and sharpen your skills. You share your shine with others in a way that is so beautiful and so lovely. And again, I mean, people are commenting about that beautiful voice of yours. Very soothing. Very, very soothing. You have the most beautiful, beautiful voice, and people are saying how much they've enjoyed you, and I'm just reading all the comments. Wow, great show. Thank you. Beautiful voice. Enjoy the ideas. It just goes on and on and on. You are wonderful, Donna Sebo, and thank you for everything that you do in the world and making it a better place. And I know people will connect with you. Again, just give us some. So it's Delphi.com. You could just Google the Donna Sebo and you'll find her. But your phone number, your radio show, your books, your children's book now, which is a big hit. Just so many wonderful things that you're doing. And when we grow up, we want to be like you.
Well,
you are,
be yourself.
Be yourself.
That gives me, that was one of the reasons I enjoyed having you as a guest on my show, because you have your own uniqueness, and that's what I like about people. I like the uniqueness of who they are. Now, to reach me, my office telephone number is 253-582-5604, 253-582-5604. My website, DelphiInternational.com. Just think of the Delphi Oracle. Excuse me, just a minute. Something went down the wrong pipe. DelphiInternational.com.
Okay. And then they can find...
Just Google Donna Sebo, and you'll find it. S-E-E-B-O.
Yep, and that'll be an adventure experience. So we can all compare notes at the end of that, see what we come up with the Google search engines. Goodness, goodness. Well, if you've enjoyed the show as much as I know that you have, share the show with a friend. Maybe somebody needs to really celebrate their own uniqueness. They need that little boost of confidence that they are here for a special reason and purpose. Take the show, download it from iTunes to your mobile device, share it with a friend. That's how you keep us going and growing as well. And make sure that you connect with Donna Sebo. And tomorrow's guest, you may have seen the book From Crappy to Happy on Eat, Pray, and Love. We have Randy Preisner with us tomorrow, author of that book that you saw in Eat, Pray, and Love. And we'll be talking about that, keeping in the theme of being your best and turning all things from bad into something really great. And to just follow through on what Donna shared with us about sharing our own unique brilliance, I'm going to close with my favorite quote from Oscar Wilde, which is, be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.